views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from KKNW AM 1150 in Seattle, the studio here at Hubbard Radio, across from Benny. And Benny's the engineer, producer, slash magician.
Glue. I'm the glue.
Yeah, you are the glue.
Really and, sticky at times.
And whether you're listening here in Seattle or on WBLQ in Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on cable radio network across the country, or on Transformation Talk Radio from anywhere around the world, you're going to be thrilled that you joined me today because it's going to be a fabulous conversation with one of my favorite people in the world. But first, you know, Benny, I wanted to say thanks for the good weather this week. It's wonderful for you to arrange that.
My pleasure. You know, I did what I could. I knew you wanted it, so I went out of my way.
I appreciate it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, we've had an interesting spring weather-wise.
Mild.
It sounds like the rain is moving in here. And yes, I know we talk about rain and sunshine here in Seattle, but we just can't help ourselves. But there's more sun on the way.
Well, in the previous show, you know, Manson Mitchell, we even discussed it too. It's like we live in an area that is literally, we're blessed with the weather we have compared to like other places. Like it's in, I can't even imagine what they go through with tornadoes and snowstorms. It's like I could really deal with a little bit of extra cloudy skies and a little bit of liquid sunshine is what we should say from time to time. It's okay. And like, I'll take it any day.
Me too. And it makes the trees get so green. And it illuminates our area in a different way, which is beautiful.
You get that a lot from when people, then they visit from outside. Like, wow, it's really green there. It's like, well, yeah, we heard it rains a lot. Well, I'm like, well, that's what happens when we get a lot of rain. It's a lot greener than you expect, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
You know, it's wonderful to be able to interview some of the most amazing people on the planet in this job. I love my job. And you know, my guest today is Dr. Joe Dispenza, who I'm sure most of my listeners already know who he is, read several of his books. And if you haven't ever heard of him, you're gonna know it by the end of this hour that he's got books you've got to read, seminars you've got to go to. But, you know, being a member of the media means that sometimes we get advanced copies of the book. Now, Benny, you know, I read like a book a week at least because I've got guests on the show and I really want to honor the material by reading it. So I got this book well in advance and his new book is called You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter. And I just kind of opened it up thinking I'm just going to see, you know, but I'm going to wait until the week that, you know, I've got assigned to read it. Could not help myself. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay, that other book is going to have to wait because I'm going to read this. Oh, this is so interesting. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. And so apparently I'm not the only one who feels that way because in the first week since the book's release, his book has made it to the New York Times bestseller list, which is just amazing.
It's a pinnacle.
1 week.
It's the pinnacle.
Yes. But I'm talking about Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Yeah.
He is an international best-selling author. He studied neuroscience at Rutgers, and then postgraduately, he's also studied neuroscience, neurobiology. He is a chiropractor, and he's also on the National Board of Chiropractic Examiners. He's lectured in, get this, 26 different countries on 6 continents. And he teaches people how to rewire their brains to live a more fulfilling life. He appeared in What the Bleep and Down the Rabbit Hole, which are classics, and other videos such as The People versus the State of Illusion. He is the author of Evolve Your Brain, The Science of Changing Your Mind, and also Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, How to Lose Your Mind and Create a New One, and his new best-selling book, You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter. I'd like to welcome my guest, Dr. Joe Dispenza. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Christine. Hi, Benny. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, thanks, and so excited to have you here. Now, you know, the last time we talked, I know that this book was in the works and you're all excited about it. And for good reason. I think that this is one of the most important books out there right now, because it's really offering us a roadmap about how to empower ourselves for true transformation. So, you know, before we get into some of the nuts and bolts of this, Joe, I know you and I have scientific backgrounds. We understand what a placebo is. And I know that we use it in our culture, you know, that word placebo frequently. But can you share with our listeners what exactly is a placebo?
Okay, well, the word placebo means to please. And you know, when you give someone a fake sugar pill and they think they're taking the real substance, or a saline injection, or some type of fake procedure or sham surgery, a certain percentage of those people will actually accept, believe, and surrender to the idea without any analysis that they're taking the real substance or getting the real procedure. And those people will begin to heal by thought alone.
Mm.
And so it's not the external substance that's creating the change. It's, in fact, their body innately has all the proper biological chemicals and pharmaceutical chemicals to begin to create the same exact chemicals of the substance that they think they're taking. So I thought, well, geez, if you understand how the placebo works and you understand the science behind it, and you can begin to demystify it in some way, can you teach people then how to do it without believing in some external substance? Can they believe in themselves and believe in the quantum field of potentials and begin to do the same exact principles and apply the same exact concepts to do the exact same thing and get the same results? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember back in my days as a statistician having to control for the placebo effect by randomizing individuals to, you know, various arms, including a placebo arm, because of that very strong effect that just the belief in the substance, you know, influences the body and its healing. But who was the first one who discovered this concept of the belief in the substance can trigger these changes within the physical body?
Well, I think the first real documented study of the placebo was done by a World War II surgeon named Beecher. He was a surgeon who ran out of morphine, and he was performing his surgeries, and then all of a sudden realized that, my goodness, I'm going to be doing some serious cutting here, and I don't have any, you know, drugs for pain. So he asked the nurse to fill up an injection with salt water, and he went through the same ritual and told the subject that they were getting a real strong pain reliever. And he was able to perform a surgery and several surgeries after that. Now, the cool thing about that is he didn't just bypass that, because he was amazed. He started thinking about there's got to be some science behind it.
Uh-huh.
Because the research now shows that when you do pain-relieving studies, that the brain produces its own natural anti-pain relievers to match the same morphine receptors. In other words, the enkephalins and the endorphins that are made in the brain in anticipation of the pain being relieved is the exact conditioning that produces the same substance as if they were taking the morphine. So he started saying, well, God, we better start testing for this. And so they started doing what's called double-blind studies, mm-hmm. you know, where the doctor doesn't know and the patient doesn't know. And they've gotten to the point now where they have to do triple-blind studies, where they have to say not only the doctor and the patient, but the statistician mm-hmm. shouldn't know either.
Right, right.
Just
oh, yeah.
To reduce those chances.
Absolutely. And, you know, we know on a quantum level that observation affects the outcome. So, yeah, I think the triple blindedness is really important as well. But it's not just the positive belief in a substance. There's also something called a nocebo effect, too, right?
Absolutely. And the nocebo is when a person is given a placebo, but they develop the side effects of the medication, but there's no real administration of the drug. And a great story, well, I start off the book with two stories and about an example of the nocebo. But one was a college student that was in a double-blind study for an antidepressant.
Mm-hmm.
And he took his medication on a regular basis, but he had an argument with his ex-girlfriend. And in a fit of frustration, he swallowed 29 pills. And then ran out into the hallway of his apartment, collapsed and was moaning and had all these changes in vital signs, and uh-huh. they brought him to the hospital and blood pressure was low, his heart rate was really high, he was gasping for air, and the physician who was taking part in the study shows up at the hospital and breaks the news to the young guy that was a graduate student, actually, that he was actually taking the placebo. Mm-hmm. And within seconds, from the time he got the news, all of his symptoms went away. So a great example of how the nocebo works as well.
Yeah, so our belief in what is we're taking, you know, affecting us positively or negatively, or something as wild as voodoo. I know you got a wonderful story in your book about that as well. So it's really about the belief and not the substance that triggers
exactly.
the belief, right?
Exactly. And when you start examining beliefs, you know, beliefs are just thoughts we keep thinking over and over again that become hardwired in our brain. And most beliefs are based on past experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And experience stamps circuitry neurologically, and we think inside those circuits. And the end product of experiences are usually feelings and emotions. So the very boundaries of our beliefs are how we feel. So if you take a thought and a feeling, you know, thoughts are the vocabulary of the brain and feelings are the vocabulary of the body.
Uh-huh.
And how you think and how you feel creates a state of being. Then a belief is just an extended state of being. And if you keep thinking and feeling in the same way, you condition your body to subconsciously become the mind. So then a belief is an unconscious state of being. We have beliefs that we don't even know that we have about
sure.
money, about relationships, about spirituality, about love. All of those are based on our own personal experience. And so then our conditioning then to the way we handle our own health and the way we handle our own life, for the most part, is coming from a lot of exposure to some very limited views.
Right. We're going to have to go on to a quick break, but more with the wonderful Dr. Joe Dispenza when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Strella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Strella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Strella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. For more information, license or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, 800-203-3775.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I really wish we had the video feed on Mr. Benny over here because he really rocks out to some of this music.
I'm just trying to give a visual on, like, you know, placebos and what's real, what's not. It's going to make your head spin. That's the whole right spin.
Well, yeah, anyways, yeah. I feel like
and,
a record.
And we're talking to Dr. Joe Dispenza. He is the author of several books. And his latest is called You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter, which made it to the New York Times bestseller list in less than a week. So, Joe, before the break, we were talking about the placebo and the nocebo effect. And you were talking about how we can utilize the belief, not necessarily the belief about a substance, but the belief itself to shift our physicality and to shift our reality that goes well beyond our physical bodies. How do we tap into that and become empowered by this placebo?
Okay, well, that's a great question. And we've spent a lot of time doing a lot of studies, and we've probably done over 500 functional scans and looking at people's brains. And we know a couple things for sure, and that is that when you marry a clear intention, and intention is really a vision of the future, you're selecting a potential in the quantum field.
Mm-hmm.
And if you marry that clear vision with an elevated emotion, instead of frustration or instead of impatience or instead of unworthiness or guilt, those are emotions that are pretty much connecting us to the past, but you have true emotion of gratitude or inspiration or joy or excitement. It's that combination of a clear intention and an elevated emotion that begins to program the autonomic nervous system to do what it does best, and that is to begin to create the own natural healing process. So think about the placebo. When someone's given a saline injection or a sugar pill or they're wheeled into an operating room and told they're getting a surgery and they never get the surgery, and a certain percentage of those people get better,
mm-hmm.
What did they do? They selected a different reality, different than they've been typically thinking about, which is their pain or their problem. They select that, they accept the idea, they believe in the outcome, and then they surrender without any analysis. And what we would say when that occurs is that we increase our level of suggestibility.
Mm-hmm.
When we become more suggestible, we're more prone to heal by thought alone. So then you're able to do that exact same thing because when you marry a clear intention and an elevated emotion, you create what we call a state of being. So, but that state of being has nothing to do with thoughts, behaviors, or emotions from the past. It has to do with thoughts, behaviors, and emotions that have you aligned to a vision of the future. So take away the sugar pill or the starch pill, take away the saline injection, or take away the fake procedure, and have a person select the potential in the quantum field and begin to emotionally embrace that outcome. And when they do it properly, it's the elevated emotion then that begins to give the body a sampling of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because the body is the unconscious mind, does not know the difference between an actual experience in your life that creates an emotion and an emotion that you fabricate by thought alone. To the body, it's exactly the same. So the body then, as the unconscious mind, is believing in that future reality in the present moment. And it's that process that begins to jumpstart the genes to begin to make new proteins, and the expression of proteins is the expression of life. So when you, but if you think about it, it may take a few times. Why? Because if you're in an antidepressant placebo, double-blind placebo study, you're going to take the pill once or twice a day,
right,
whether you take the real substance or the fake substance. You're going to move into a state of being because that pill is going to remind you of that future.
Yes.
So we ask people to practice it every day because you're going to begin to knock on the genetic door over and over again, and it takes a little bit of repetition that's knocking on the genetic door that begins to program the gene to finally switch on. So people will try once or twice and then give up, but our students really in the workshops that really stick with it understand that it takes a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, and I've been to your workshops. I've met some of the students who've been going to your workshops for years. It's seen and heard about several amazing transformations. But, you know, Joe, I when I think about the placebo in terms of, you know, within the context of a study where somebody's taking a pill or getting an injection of saline solution versus implementing something in our daily lives, it seems like when we are taking something externally, we're more apt to allow that belief, allow that shift in our beingness. How do we get beyond like giving our power away to the external source and allowing ourselves to become empowered?
Wow, that's a great question. Well, you can answer it on two levels. The first level is we've all taken substances that have altered our internal chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment you feel differently inside of you, you feel altered. You pay attention to whatever caused it outside of you.
Right.
And that event in and of itself is called a memory. So you begin to attach meaning or assign meaning to the external substance. And that's the beginning of what we call the conditioning response. So then if you keep doing that, whether it's an aspirin or whether it's your antidepressant or whether it's whatever substance that you're taking, you're conditioning the body and you're paying attention and beginning to put your power into that external substance. Now, that's okay because that's how modern medicine has helped us in infinitely numerous ways.
Sure.
But then if you think that a flu shot is going to be something that you need every flu season because all of a sudden bugs get together in the wintertime and they proliferate and, you know, you need an injection of some sort to maintain that condition. If you believe that, then you'll need a flu shot or you'll get the flu. And some people get it with it or without the injection.
Sure.
So,
and lots of people don't get it without the injection.
Exactly. Many, many people don't, and that's a belief, too. And those bacteria are called opportunistic bacteria because they're waiting for an opportunity to proliferate. They're already within our body, so they're waiting for the immune system to be compromised because of some stress so that they can begin to colonize. So the other thing is that aside from having our own experience, there's a lot of beliefs and conditionings that we have about medicine, about the doctor, about drugs, about advertising that goes along with it, and there's a deep programming that has to go on as well, because many, many people have unconscious beliefs that they need something outside of them to heal them. But that's kind of the reductionistic, mechanistic model that's beginning to crumble because people are becoming informed.
Uh-huh.
And so people are starting to understand this concept of what we call neo-vitalism, which is you have an innate capacity within you to heal. Him, that intelligence that's giving you life just needs some room for you to get out of the way and allow it to do what it does best. So when a person takes an external substance, they take it without thinking about it, and they get out of the way. They allow it to occur.
Right.
So then getting to that point of surrender or allowing is the art, because we can only talk around that. But the best way that I can describe it is that when you truly surrender, you trust in the outcome without any thought.
Uh-huh. And we can't control our way into it.
Exactly. When you're trying to control the outcome, you're going to lose it, because it means that you doubt in that greater intelligence.
And I think that when people utilize, you know, conscious intent, affirmations, it's really all about the outcome and not about the state of being.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the state of being, because we can only accept, believe, and surrender to thoughts that are equal to our emotional state. So if you're living in fear and someone's telling you to be happy, that doesn't really penetrate, because you only will accept, believe, and surrender to thoughts that are equal to your anxiety and your fear. But if you begin to change your internal state and move into a new state of being, and you begin to feel gratitude or you begin to feel inspired, you'll accept, believe, and surrender to the thoughts equal to that emotional state, and that's when your body begins to respond to your mind.
And I think, Joe, that oftentimes for us to get from that, you know, place of the analytic controlling, you know, to the allowing, it requires satisfying our intellectual mind, if you will, that there's some validity to it. And, you know, I know that you've jumped through all sorts of hoops to demonstrate this scientifically. And we're going to be going on a quick break soon, so we're not going to get into that quite yet. But even more importantly, that I think speaks to our emotional level, is some of the amazing healings that have occurred within the context of your seminars or after your seminars. So, you know, when we return, I'm going to want to have you talk more about that. But before we go to break, I really want our listeners to be able to get into contact with you, find out what seminars are coming up, and find links to your book. Can you share with our listeners your website?
Sure. My website is just simply drjoedispenza.com, drjoedispenza.com. And all the seminars and workshops that we do and information about where I'm going to be and books and products are all there.
Yeah, and there's some great videos there as well. There's content. So it's a worthwhile website to go and to explore Dr. Joe Dispenza. Some more with Dr. Joe when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
You can have it all. Join Dr. Richard Bartlett and Melissa Joy for our mind-blowing Festival of the Healing Arts coming to Seattle May 16th through the 25th. For the first time, we'll be teaching the entire Matrix Energetic Seminar package back-to-back in one location.
And this is the thing I like about Matrix Energetics. There are many theories and concepts out there about using quantum physics and other aspects that we know of, that science now knows of, that the world around us is essentially made out of energy and information, but Matrix Energetics gives you the insights that you need, the consciousness technology, if you will, to apply that in your own world and bring about the change that you would like to see.
Matrix Energetics, consciousness technology for transformation and healing. Join us for a free introductory course Friday, May 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. Seminars will be at the DoubleTree Seattle Airport. Visit MatrixEnergetics.com for a seminar coming to a city near you. Come as you are and leave transformed.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with my friend Dr. Joe Dispenza. He's the author of a best-selling book on the New York Times best-selling list, recently released. It's called You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter. Now, Joe, you know, I've attended your workshops, I've read your book, I've heard you speak before. And one of the things I'm so fascinated by is you haven't just stopped and said, okay, well, people are having this effect you know, having healings or whatever from my workshops, but you've actually researched it scientifically. Can you explain a little bit about the science of evaluating the transformation that occurs within the context of your workshops?
Sure. I never planned on doing any of this. It just seemed to be, I think, the most common question that occurred for me personally after the movie What the Bleep Do We Know. Everybody wanted to know two things. How do you do it? And why is it so hard to change?
Mm.
And so we started teaching these workshops, or I started teaching these workshops, because I really thought that, and I still do, I think science is the contemporary language of mysticism.
Sure.
And science helps demystify what pretty much has been around for thousands of years in terms of a possibility. So when you start talking about religion or tradition or culture, you tend to divide an audience. But science unifies communities. So when I started teaching the workshops, I was using the scientific model and blending quantum physics with a little neuroscience, mm-hmm. and neuroplasticity and neuroendocrinology and hormone expression, cellular physiology and epigenetics. And, you know, knowledge is power, but knowledge about ourselves is self-empowerment. So I wanted to demystify it to such a degree that when we sat down and we did an inward process, that people understood exactly what they were doing and why. Now, that's called assigning meaning to something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the three elements that allows the placebo response to work the best. When you understand what you're doing and you can put more intention behind it, you will produce greater results. So when we were teaching our more progressive workshops over a period of time, about a couple of years ago, we started seeing people with MS and lupus and high blood pressure and chronic pain and celiac disease and chronic bladder infections and Hashimoto's syndrome and all these different conditions.
And by the way, Joe, it's not, I firmly believe it's not that, you know, you were teaching a healing seminar and people were drawn to the healing. I think that's really the state of our world right now, is people have a lot of chronic illness.
Absolutely. Well, pretty much 95%. So it's interesting, because when you're taking away chronic illness, it's a relief, because the medical model, you know, God bless it, works so well for acute conditions. You know, mm-hmm. you break your arm, you have appendicitis. Well, that's where you go for acute conditions. But when it comes to chronic conditions, the reductionistic model or the chemical model tends to be a kind of palliative, or it doesn't really correct the cause of the problem. So all of a sudden, you know, with chronic conditions, people are realizing that they have to do something or make different choices, and a lot of people don't want to. But because of information, people are starting to wake up and go, okay, well, I'm informed now. I'm going to make better choices. So we never planned on seeing these type of healings in our workshops, mm-hmm. because a lot of times when people were just altering their state of being without them even consciously knowing it, they started, for example, you know, 2 weeks later, they hadn't had acid reflux or had no pain in their body at all, and they were diagnosed with, you know, all kinds of different conditions, and fibromyalgia, Epstein-Barr, you know, rheumatoid conditions. So they were pretty jubilant, because, wow, it was happening in real time. And when it started happening in real time during our events, or 2 weeks after the event, I thought, God, something must be going on inside there. So why don't mm-hmm. we start measuring it? So we brought in a team of neuroscientists and technicians, and we brought in researchers and physicists, and I wanted to measure to see if we were actually producing some type of change. So the concept of the workshops that we created in our advanced workshops was this concept called information to transformation. If you give people information mm-hmm. and they can learn valid information, every time you learn something new, you make some type of physical change in your brain. Learning is making new connections in your brain.
Right.
If you can repeat what you've learned, then you're wiring it in there and you're creating networks of neurons to reflect an idea or a concept. So if learning is making synaptic connections, then remembering is maintaining them.
Uh-huh.
So they began to assemble the very circuitry in their brain to reflect a new level of mind. So then if you give people some instruction and teach them how to match their behaviors with their intentions, or their actions equal to their thoughts, if they do it properly, they should have some type of change or some type of experience or some type of transformation.
Uh-huh.
Now, if I could measure that transformation in real time, then I would have more information to teach transformation the next time. And if I were able to measure that transformation, then I would begin to gather more information to teach transformation and begin to close the gap between knowledge and experience. And so we've done three of these events, and we've measured functional, you know, quantitative scans of people's brains. We've mm-hmm. measured, you know, hundreds of people where they come in before the event, And then they go through 4 days of training. We measure their brain after the event and see what type of changes that took place. In other words, it wasn't just in their mind. It was physically in their brain.
Exactly.
Or we began to measure in real time. We would select five people or six people during a meditative process or technique, and we were measuring their brain in real time, see what was going on right in the moment, what was going on right in real time, to be able to gather more information. And we could see when the person was focused. We could see when the person was analyzing. We could see when the person was in the zone. And it helped me to be able to word it better and teach it better.
And Joe, I think that it's so important that you did this, because I think there are a lot of scientific people out there who would say, oh, the reason that people, you know, say they like the workshop or that they had effectively had a change is because they really liked Dr. Joe, or they liked being in, you know, a part of this group experience or whatever. But you actually documented changes within the brain.
Oh, yeah. We made scientific history without a doubt in these three workshops. I mean, we've measured epigenetic changes in the urine and saliva. We've measured the energy field around people's bodies. We've measured the energy of the room. We've had them wear heart rate monitors, and we've seen when they were able to control their autonomic nervous system. I mean, we've gone to great lengths to create a model that helps people understand that, number one, the first thing I learned is that you and I are absolutely at our best when we get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it.
Right.
That's the number
firm
one.
Firm believer in that.
Number two is that the brain will never change the brain. The program will never change the program. The ego will never change the ego.
Mm.
Matter never changes matter.
Oh, that's
and
huge.
I saw this over and over again. As a matter of fact, when people do that, they actually make their brains worse. In other words, if you're analyzing your life within the emotion that's driving your analysis, and emotions are a record of the past, then anytime we do that, we're thinking in the past, and we're making the exact chemicals that reinforce that emotional state, and our brain goes further and further out of balance and away from the operating system where true change takes place. So
it's almost like the brain is it thrives on the rewiring and the new beliefs, or else it starts to decay or something.
As long as we get beyond those emotional states, and so that's the challenge. We also seen that when you become pure consciousness, when you become if you're going to be healed by thought alone, then you literally have to become thought alone.
Yeah.
And you and I have all the biological and neurological machinery to do this. And we spend the majority of our life focusing on three things: our bodies, things in our external environment, and time. Body, the environment, and time, and our identity, who we think we are, is connected to the people we know and the things we own and the place we live and the experiences we've had at different times in our life. But when you're that identity, then your personality, trying to create a new personal reality, actually doesn't work. You literally have to become a new personality. But in order for you to do that, first, you have to separate yourself from your body. You have to separate yourself from your identity. You have to separate yourself from things and places and time. In other words, when we saw people move into these elegant states of consciousness and their brain become very organized and begin to heal, they became nobody. They became no one. Mm-hmm. They became nothing. Nowhere in no time. They became pure consciousness. They became an awareness in possibility. Now that, for most people, is a very abstract concept, but it is the way we begin to, in other words, in order for us to change the body, we have to forget about the body. In order for us to create something in our external environment, we have to separate ourselves or get beyond our memory of the external environment. In order for us to create some future time that's new, we have to stop predicting the future time based on the past memories. And so,
and it feels like, I've been through your guided meditations, and I know you also include it in the book, the language of it that's so powerful. It's almost like the energetics of it is going beyond the physicality, the emotional, the emotions that are what we often refer to as identity, and reaching out into that field of potential.
Exactly. Well, it really is that, because we also measured the energy of people's bodies when they do this, and it begins to become very expanded. In other words, you go from particle to wave. You go from matter to energy, and energy is the epiphenomenon of matter. It's energy that heals the body. It's energy that begins to change conditioning. And so we saw this so many times, Christine, where people really all of a sudden reached that point where their brain started to work in balance. The left half of the brain started talking to the right half of the brain. The uh-huh. front part of the brain started talking to the back of the brain. Different compartments began to synchronize, and what syncs together links together. And that person said, I feel so whole right now. I feel more like myself than I have in a very long time. And that state of wholeness is really the most opportune state to create in. You can't create in want. You can't create in hope. You can't uh-huh. create in trying, because that's polarity. It's only when you're totally whole and in the present moment
yes.
and connected to a vision that we see so many changes. And I've read so many different stories of people in our work that have healed themselves of all kinds of conditions. And many, many, many of those people, the majority of them, reached a point where they were so whole and so happy with themselves and so appreciative of life that they could care less really if they had the disease any longer. And that's the moment it went away.
That's amazing. We have to go to another quick break, but more with the Dr. Joe Dispenza when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Are you ready to move past limiting beliefs and unconscious obstacles that are holding you back from financial prosperity? Do you want to be free from debt and that feeling of being disempowered? Mary Jane Allen is a financial healer and joy creation specialist who uses her unique set of tools included in her financial healing process to help her clients move past those beliefs and fears. For more information and to contact Mary Jane, visit her website, manifestyourlifedream.com, and begin your financial healing process today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet yoandrew at andrewtweetgeo. Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation with Dr. Joe Dispenza. He's the author of several books, including his latest, You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter. Now, Dawson Church wrote the foreword to Dr. Joe's book, and he says something that I think is really profound here. He says, the practice that Joe outlines, the self-directed neuroplasticity, he says, I believe this approach will become one of the most potent concepts in personal transformation and neurobiology for the coming generation. And this book will be at the forefront of that movement. So Joe, it sounds like you are the wave of the future with the information that you're presenting here and the processes that you're offering. Now, you know, we've told people about the book. I know that you also teach workshops around the world. What do you have that's upcoming in, say, our area here in the Seattle area?
Well, let's see. I'll be in Vancouver, actually, this weekend for the Hay House I Can Do It event at the West, or close to the West, and somewhere out there. But you can go to the Hay House website. And then in July 4th weekend, the 4th, 5th, and 6th, I'll be doing a progressive workshop three-day event in Vancouver as well. So I think every year we alternate between Vancouver and Seattle.
Uh-huh.
At the end of June, I'm in Denver, end of May, I'm in Toronto, then in July, I'm also in Fort Lauderdale. These are all workshops, and I'm in Mexico City this following weekend.
Yeah, and it's great that you are bringing this across the planet. And if you need to know more about the upcoming events, you can go to drjoedispenza.com. Now, Joe, you know, this self-directed neuroplasticity that, you know, that phrase is a mouthful. What essentially is that, and what have been some of the effects, some of the healings that you have personally witnessed?
Well, the concept of neuroplasticity basically says you're not hardwired to be a certain way the rest of your life, unless you keep doing the same things, thinking the same thoughts, making the same choices, creating the same experiences.
Yeah, and that happens way too often, yeah.
So then your brain becomes hardwired, some of the early research that were done on laboratory animals, you know, they said the brain was immutable because they were studying animals in unchanging environments. And so, you know, I mean, if you think 60 to 70,000 thoughts in one day and 90% of those thoughts are the same as the day before, the same thoughts always lead to the same choices. Same choices always lead to the same behaviors. Same behaviors always create the same experiences, and the same experiences produce the same emotions. And those familiar emotions drive our very same thoughts, and that becomes our biology. It becomes our neurocircuitry. It becomes our chemistry. But when you have to agree that new thoughts lead to new choices, which lead to new behaviors, which lead to new experiences, which create new feelings and emotions, which should inspire new thoughts, that's called evolution. So self-directed neuroplasticity takes place both by learning new things, creating new experiences, but making new choices by understanding that there are physical and chemical changes that take place in your brain given the proper stimulation to the brain. So we use the concept of meditation, but we also use the concept of making choices and demonstrating behaviors that are equal to our destiny or equal to our vision of the future. And mm-hmm. So your brain will continuously change if you do that, and those new changes in the brain are physical evidence or footprints of consciousness to let you know that something's been stamped in there that represents some hardware that you can use at a later date. So, again, you know, we've just seen so many amazing changes. I'll tell a story of a woman that I was just in Europe just a couple of weeks ago, and she got up on the stage and she said, "Listen, I'm a psychotherapist. A couple of years ago, it was a Sunday morning, and I was in the shower, and my husband said goodbye to my children and yelled goodbye to me while I was in the shower, and then went to the tallest building in Amsterdam and jumped off the top of the building and committed suicide." And she said, "You know, that was a couple of years ago, and I have to tell you that I was so angry and so frustrated, and I was so victimized, and I was so sad, and I was in such pain, and I was resentful." And, you know, it's those experiences, you know, emotionally, that brand us neurologically and chemically, and the hormones of stress, without a doubt, are the chemicals long-term that push the genetic buttons that create disease. So she had a strong emotional reaction. She, every time she thought about the experience or thought about her husband, she produced the same chemistry in her brain and body as if the event was happening. So her body was reliving the experience 50 to 100 times in a day, and nobody can tolerate living in that emergency mode for extended periods of time. So over time, the emotional chemicals lingered for hours and days and turned into a mood, and then ultimately lingered for weeks and months and turned into her temperament, and people in her life treated her equal to her experience and the environment, and that reaffirmed her identity, and all of a sudden the stress and the pain became so great that out of nowhere she developed a complete paralysis in her body. She couldn't get out of bed.
Wow.
She couldn't move.
Yeah.
And the doctors did all the tests, and they said, "Wow, you have neuritis," which means, you know, your nerves are inflamed. But mm-hmm. they They couldn't explain why. And so now she can't work. So because she can't work, she can't make money. And if she can't make money, she can't take care of her kids. She can't get out of bed, so she can't take care of them either. So that's more stress.
Right.
And now her mother has to take care of her. And, you know, the same emotions are running now for a year, a little over a year, and it turns into part of her identity. It becomes her personality. And so a few months of being in the bed and not being able to move, the next thing that happens is she develops very large ulcerations in all the mucous membranes of her mouth, her esophagus, her bladder, her vagina, and her anus, and large scabs, big ulcerations. Now she can't eat because it hurts too much. She can't swallow.
Oh, dear.
She can't. Every time she eliminates, she's having even more pain. So now her stress levels go up, and she doesn't tell her kids because she doesn't want them to know. And right from there, a couple months later, she develops esophageal cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
And now she's in big trouble, and she doesn't want to live any longer.
Sure.
And none of the therapies or medications are helping her in any way. And so I remember the day she came to our a workshop in Holland. She came in with the walker and crutches. She sat in the second row, I remember. And she had difficulty moving around. And I started talking to the audience about if you've signaled the wrong gene in the wrong way and have programmed the gene that's creating disease, and if you can turn on that stress response just by thinking about the problems in your life, if your thoughts can make you sick, then maybe your thoughts can make you well.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, she latched onto that, and she decided that every day she was going to do her meditation. She was going to take the placebo every day,
right.
And she was going to change her state of being. And she said, I'm not getting up from my meditation until I'm in love with life. Now, that sounds really easy, but she had no reason to be in love with life.
Yeah.
She had no husband. She was a widow. She had no money. She lost her job. She was in pain. She had cancer. She couldn't take care of her kids. She had no reason to give thanks for a new life. But every day she said, I'm going to get beyond the emotions that keep me anchored to the past. And it was a very big, dark night of the soul for her, but she every day she practiced. Well, she came to a more advanced workshop in New York a few months later, and I pushed that audience quite a bit past where they would normally go because I believe that on the other side of it is freedom. And so she had a breakthrough in that event, and actually in the middle of one meditation saw herself standing up in front of an audience and telling the story of her healing. Now, she didn't create that. She just got the download.
Sure.
So when she left that event, she was very inspired, and she never missed a day. And she wrestled with herself, and every day she got up in a new state of being. She got up in that state where she was in love with life. And she was on the stage, and she said, I just want everybody to know that I just came from my doctor a week ago. I have no sign of cancer in my esophagus.
Wow.
All the ulcerations are completely gone in all my mucous membranes. I don't have any pain in my body any longer. I walk unassisted. I exercise. I'm back to work.
Amazing.
I'm making great money. And I have a new husband.
Oh, that's great.
And
what's so amazing about that, Joe, is that's just one of many stories. And I know that there are more of these stories in your book, You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter, that's already on the New York Times bestseller list. And so you don't want to be left out. Read this book because it teaches you how to become empowered to shift your life. Joe, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here today on our show.
Oh, thank you, Christine, for all the great things you do also.
Oh, and thank you for listening. And next week, I hope you join us again here. Perhaps coincidentally or perhaps not, the person who wrote the foreword to Dr. Joe's latest book, Dawson Church, is going to be my guest. So tune in next week and have a great week, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I want to introduce you to my friends at BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor in the United States and Canada. Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol-sensitive patients. Practitioners often complement Beyond Balance formulas with high-quality homeopathic, such as Pecanus Bigeric remedies to enhance patient results. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, at 800-203-3775. That's 800-203-3775. And together, let's win the battle against Lyme disease.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. Anxiety is in many ways a learned behavior, which is rooted in our childhood. During our early years, when we are the most dependent on others, negative feedback, judgment, or ridicule infiltrate our subconscious mind and leave us wondering whether we are really safe, lovable, or good enough. In response, a part of our mind develops protective strategies to keep us from getting hurt. Let's imagine that the anxiety you've been battling with stems from the part that has assumed the job of keeping you safe. Doesn't it then make sense that your anxiety makes you expect the worst, so that you are prepared, keeps you on your toes to avoid failure, or shames and belittles you before someone else can do this to you? When you consider the source of your anxiety as a vulnerable child that just tries to keep you safe, you no longer feel that you're the victim of your own mind, but instead are more easily able to take on the role of the caring, reassuring adult.
You can have it all. Join Dr. Richard Bartlett and Melissa Joy for our mind-blowing Festival of the Healing Arts coming to Seattle May 16th through the 25th. We'll be teaching the entire Matrix Energetic Seminar package in one location.
You have to experience yourself. You have to be there, touch it, play with this.
It's not a complicated system. It's simple, it's easy, and it's fun. It's quite remarkable.
And this woman literally went doot, doot, and I had this wave, this whole like wave of energy comes through me like I had never felt anything like that in my entire life, and it just blew me away. I was like, wow.
Matrix Energetics, consciousness technology for transformation and healing. Join us for a free introductory course May 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. Seminars will be at the DoubleTree Seattle Airport. Visit matrixenergetics.com for a seminar coming to a city near you. Come as you are and leave transformed.
You can have it all. Join Dr. Richard Bartlett and Melissa Joy for our mind-blowing Festival of the Healing Arts coming to Seattle May 16th through the 25th. For the first time, we'll be teaching the entire Matrix Energetic Seminar package back-to-back in one location.
And this is the thing I like about Matrix Energetics. There are many theories and concepts out there about using quantum physics and other aspects that we know of, that science now knows of, that the world around us is essentially made out of energy and information. But Matrix Energetics gives you the insights that you need, the consciousness technology, if you will, to apply that in your own world and bring about the change that you would like to see.
Matrix Energetics, consciousness technology for transformation and healing. Join us for a free introductory course Friday, May 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. Seminars will be at the DoubleTree Seattle Airport. Visit matrixenergetics.com for a seminar coming to a city near you. Come as you are and leave transformed.
Do you want to enjoy your salad dressing without the guilt of calories, processed ingredients, salt, and carbohydrates? Galios miso dressings are created in a certified organic plant with all natural organic ingredients. Choose from 6 delicious flavors. Order your dressings online now and get free shipping. Mention Dr. Pat and you will get an additional 10% discount. Visit www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOSCafe.com. Galios miso dressings are delicious and made with only the finest, freshest, and all-natural ingredients. Galios miso dressings are low in fat, sugar, salt, and carbohydrates. They do not contain any artificial ingredients or any wheat, eggs, vegetable gums, or MSG. What they do contain is astonishing flavor and silky texture that can only come from using premium quality ingredients. Order online with free shipping at www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOSCafe.com.